From the dollar to wheat demand and harvest underway, a lot of factors that are weighing in on our grain complex today. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. As Mike Zuzulo joins us, Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics for our market wrap-up on the day. Let's kind of kick it off with this dollar. What are you seeing at this point in this trade that is weighing on the markets like it is?
Yeah, I would say at this point, Susan, this is the most important week for the dollar for our harvest season because we are just a hair away from challenging the 2025 lows here on Tuesday afternoon ahead of the Federal Reserve speaking on Wednesday, with the market, in the bond market specifically, thinking at least one rate cut starting on Wednesday is already baked into the bond prices. I think this is really important because you and I have talked a lot about the crude oil market and the wheat market as being keys to finding an overall market low when it came to the bulk commodities. And that's because those two commodities are typically the ones that are produced in the most number of countries and have the most competition. And so to get a demand low in place, typically we need a wheat or crude oil low to come in place, maybe even before the rest of the market does. And I think the trade has been working on that for the last 30 or 40 days. And what we've seen now as a result of the expectations by the Federal Reserve, and I think also because of the sheer demand side of the equation for wheat, and we saw it in the export inspections on Monday again with them beating the highest trade guess, we're selling wheat to countries we normally don't sell to. Indonesia is supposedly in for 500,000 tons of U.S. wheat. Bangladesh, 250,000, and Sri Lanka, 100,000. These are non-traditional U.S. buyers, and I think the main reason why they are coming in is because of the currency and the weakness in the dollar, because we have to realize that part of the reason that the dollar is making new lows is because the emerging markets and their equity markets, and therefore their currencies in many cases, are making new highs. One of the big broad measures I look at in the emerging markets is showing the emerging market equities are at the highest level since June of 2021. And so I think this is finally bleeding through. Last thing I'll say about it is the Black Sea. That's been the issue for why the wheat just doesn't seem to want to have come up. And it's been a real issue why I'm surprised the crude oil market hasn't put more premium in it because of it and the Middle East. But I think even now the trade is starting to realize with the latest USDA numbers and some of the hard data in with the harvest in the northern hemisphere for wheat pretty much being complete. Ukraine's season to date grain exports, this is coming from a Ukrainian news source, is about 40% below last year. Wheat about 24%, corn 64% below last year. And so I think that's another reason why we're picking up some business. So I think that played a pretty significant role in Tuesday's trade, and I'm making such a big deal about it because it is a necessary role if we want to find a true low in the corn and the soybeans, get away from the harvest, get away from the harvest weather, get away from the U.S.-China trade negotiations, and be able to go back to more of a traditional reason why the markets may be making a demand low.
And it just makes a lot of sense, Mike. So we're not so hyper-focused on the flash headlines and looking more at the meat and potatoes of what this market's doing.
That's exactly right. You couldn't have said it any better. And I think this is where Tuesday afternoon was a great example of that. We've seen a really big push in the bean oil, the ICE canola, the CME corn market turned around on Tuesday. And many people were scratching their heads. Why? I think the harvest weather is part of it in the Western Corn Belt. It's looking more and more coming to a screeching halt, if these weather models are correct, in the next few days. But it seemed like there was something more to it with the bean oil and the canola. And, well, what happened around that session was news wires broke that it's being reported the EPA and their biofuel blending obligations proposal is going to be released before the end of the business on Tuesday. So I think, Susan, that's one of those key issues that, yes, it's very important. It's highly correlated to the policy of the United States, as are the trade policy decisions that we make. What I want to get back to is the supply demand and the fact that this weaker dollar is helping provide a lot of cover and prevent a lot of negativity in the commodities and the bulk commodities, especially because of this trade situation is being offset by the fact that we are indeed increasing our demand.
When you talk about that demand and you look at all the potential that is out there for large numbers, whether we're looking at corn, beans, or wheat, there's a lot of factors too, as this harvest continues and the global tensions continue, that could be some weighing in market factors.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think this is especially the case because USDA has stoked up our acres for harvest so much in the last 2 months and kept our yields at records, at least for the corn. And even with this latest drop in the corn national yield number, there's so much supply uncertainty. And I'm still not satisfied with the idea that the Ukraine and Russia are going to have such a large crop, because Russia has been noticeably absent from some of the deals in some of these countries they normally sell to. And it just begs the question, is why aren't they selling aggressively like they have in the last 2 years to be able to feed and fuel their war machine? And I think this is a real question mark that I continue to hold and carry with me as we work into the U.S. supply of corn and beans, and whether that crop is shrinking, which I still think it is at this point. And producers that I've been talking to on both sides of the Corn Belt are suggesting to me that they're really not getting much better than last year in the corn, and that the early corn will be the best. And so if that's the case, I still think USDA is way too high, or quite a bit too high, on states like Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio.
So switch gears on us and look at the livestock side of it. Besides the whiplash that seems to be happening in this cattle market, what is your takeaway on the retail cattle sales at this point?
Yeah, we've got a retail situation that's underpinning this market, and it's really been an interesting and almost a clinic on the funds versus the fundamentals, something else you and I have talked a lot about over the years, Susan. You noticed ever since the day before the crop report, corn was either up sharply and the feeder cattle were the opposite, or vice versa. Friday, we had that super large move in corn, super big break in the feeders. Corn was actually the percent gainer on the day for the ag commodities I look at on Friday. Feeders were the percent loser. Monday was a complete flip-flop of that, complete reversal. Tuesday, it's a mix. And it's more of a mix, I think, because of the retail markets. Cash feeder cattle are very much in line with the September futures, holding around 360 plus or minus. October fat cattle futures are carrying a significant discount, $7, $8 compared to the cash market, even though the box beef prices have slipped. I think this goes back to the retail market. And what I have seen is a better than expected post Labor Day demand and retail market in terms of the numbers, in terms of the high frequency numbers. USDA's weekly retail report showed the featuring of beef up 10% last week. We got retail sales this morning from the United States government, the Commerce Department, and it showed that excluding cars, August retail sales beat estimates up 0.7%. Restaurants and bars, the same number, up 0.7%. And the Commerce Department noted that the stock market rally was part of this, and that's what I think is really important here, is the weak dollar and the stock market and the screwworm issue are the three top tier issues I think we need to keep track of as we get ready for Friday's cattle and feed report.
So let me throw this at you quick as we wrap up our conversation. We know that Wednesday is going to bring some Fed discussion, interest rate change ups. How do you see that kind of factoring in as well as we look at things going down the road?
Yeah, I've looked at the Mercantile Exchange Fed Watch, a tool that they use, one can use, an analyst can look at. And we are building in a lot of rate cuts here, Susan, and I'm a little bit nervous that we're not going to get as many, or the Fed will say something after they cut rates on Wednesday that will create a short covering rally in the dollar. I would say when it comes to the U.S. and China trade negotiations, the soybean market is finding some support off of that and expecting at the end of the week some good news because of the bean rally that has held up here. Obviously, weather's a key too, but I think we're still building in some premium in the beans, expecting the U.S. and China to come together. I think the end of the week is going to be extremely important just for those two things. And as I said at the top of the show, our harvest price action maybe could be dictated between both the Federal Reserve and what happens between the U.S. and China.
Always a great conversation with you. Mike Zuzulo is joining us. And a quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That is the Tuesday Market Wrap-Up on the American Ag Network.